I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Tara.
Scary story day on the show. Let's jump to TJ in Spartanburg. Hey, TJ.
Morning, Tara. How are you doing today?
Good. Tell me your scary story for Halloween.
All right. So I work for a popular or very unpopular company, depending on which way you look at us this time of year. At the time, I was working 12 to 9. Got to a customer's house a little after 8 o'clock. I get there. And he wasn't home. I asked him, I said, okay, where are you at? He said, I'm probably 10 minutes away. He said, so I said, I'll go ahead and get started outside. While I'm sitting there, while I'm sitting there, I went ahead and started my work outside and noticed that all the lights came on. Like, okay. And, called him up. I said, hey, you know, if there's somebody inside, I'm going to do my work inside as well. He goes, there's nobody there. I said, oh, well, you must have automatic lights. He goes, no, that's just Sheila. He said, I meant to tell you. He said, my house is haunted. Called my supervisor the next day, told him I'm not working 12 to 9 no more. Shift me out to 8-5.
Okay, DJ, thank you so much for your phone call. We've got a lot of great scary stories, Lee, on the text line. And it seems like everybody has one of these. Texter writes, morning, Tara. I've got a 1950 house. I was remodeling it about 20 years ago. There were stories of an elderly gentleman that when he died, they said they kept his casket in the house. While I was working, it was around 2 a.m. in the morning. Everyone else was asleep. I felt a hand on my shoulder and a voice that told me it was time to go to bed. I put my tools on the ground, closed the door to a room I was working in, and went to bed. Didn't sleep well. He's been seen after that by my boys. Spooky, right? Have a good one. I always love these on Halloween. Here's another one. Texter writes, eerie story from many years ago. My dad's father passed. My parents kept telling me the lights would go on and off and creaks on the stairs, etc. I recommended they cut back on the nightcaps.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. One day I visited for dinner. My mom emptied the dishwasher onto the counter before putting it into the cabinet. All of a sudden, the glasses, one by one, flew off the counter as if they were thrown like a baseball and smashed against the wall. After four of them smashed, my mom yelled, stop it, you're dead. And it stopped. Wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it myself. Texter writes, I got a scary story. I had a nightmare that Joe Biden was elected president. Wow, that must have been bad. That's one of those that stays with you the rest of the day, Lee.
Yeah.
You just shake it off and go, thank God that didn't happen. Again. Anyway, all right. Meanwhile, okay, so this morning we're looking at the cutoff of the benefits tomorrow. If the folks on TikTok are to be believed, they're going to just start walking into stores and helping themselves to food, perhaps violently. I don't know. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah, Roger had that in the business news there, and I've been seeing those things too, and I thought they were false.
You know. I don't know. I mean, people like to talk big on TikTok. We'll see if they actually do it. But basically Donald Trump has now come out overnight on Truth Social and said, hey, let's do away with the filibuster. That way Republicans could pass the CR with 51 votes. Now, I don't know if he means a CR that, is like, I don't know if he means like a filibuster just for the CR. We could do it that way, or get rid of the filibuster entirely so nothing would need 60 votes in the Senate. He didn't say. So, and here's the question on this. Even if they tried to pass that in the Senate, I know at least Rand Paul's going to vote against it. So I don't even know if we can get the votes among Republicans to get rid of the filibuster.
Well, that could be a situation where it gets down to it would take the vice president to break a tie, possibly.
Yeah. So we'll see. You can see what's going on. All of the polls up till now have shown clearly the Democrats are getting the, you know, the blame for this. Even CNN says, yeah, the Democrats are getting, they should. They keep voting no. I mean, there's two options, no or yes. It's very simple. Yes, reopen the government, no, and they keep voting no. But what's obviously happening here is it's about to get real. We're already looking at 2.7-hour delays to fly to Florida. The lines are getting longer. And, you know, maybe we'll have rioting this weekend. I don't know. We're going to have all the stories of the, you know, poor people with children who don't have food. And Trump knows any moment this could turn on the Republicans due to disinformation from the Democrats. So I think he's getting out ahead of it and saying, look, we're, you know, yeah. I don't blame me. I propose getting rid of the filibuster. I mean, what else can I do? And he can't do anything else.
No, because that would have to be a change in the rules by the Senate. And under the Constitution, the Senate can change its own rules and is able to set its own rules, just as the House can do.
Yeah. So, and what the Democrats are saying, though, and I think this is why Trump's saying, hey, let's get rid of the filibuster overnight. Democrats are saying to people, and they're lying, they know they're lying. They're saying, oh, well, you know, the Republicans are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, so it's their fault. Well, what they're counting on, the American people don't know, that you need 60 votes in the Senate. And we don't have 60 votes in the Senate.
Yeah, for certain things. And this is a cloture vote is basically what it is that you have to have 60 votes for cloture to be able to move something to the floor for a vote. And that's what the issue is.
They keep saying, well, get rid of the filibuster then. Oh, okay, but you guys would have to vote with us to do that. Number one, you'd have to give us a party line vote for us to pull it off. But number more than likely, because we'll lose some Republicans, we could lose up to five. I mean, I could see a lot of people. I mean, Mitch McConnell's always been a big filibuster supporter, so I could see losing that vote too. But the Democrats are just counting on that Americans don't know about the filibuster rule and trying to blame it on Republicans while they vote no again and again and again to reopen the government.
Well, considering that we don't really teach civics and the Constitution in some public school anymore, what do you expect?
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, Trump trying to avoid blame for this. And look, Trump knows if we get rid of the filibuster totally, and he didn't clarify which one he'd do, he can do a lot of the things he's promised, but that he's only been able to do executively. Like, he'd at least have a shot at it anyway, of pressuring Republicans and getting some of this stuff through. I mean, I would love to pass birthright citizenship legislation.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. We can finally clarify this.
Which, you know, for many of us seems pretty obvious, particularly when you look at what the rest of the world does. So
Texture is a really great point on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. If they break the filibuster to reopen the government, they go all the way with a balanced budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? That sort of gives Trump some leverage, too, to say to these Republicans, well, we've got no excuse now for continuing to pass Nancy Pelosi's budget over and over and over in the form of continuing resolution. Let's go ahead and do what Trump has wanted to do, because Trump's wanted to make big cuts. And he's been in court trying to do it executively because Republicans won't and also can't. They don't have the votes. Do it in, you know, in the House and the Senate. He could actually put the pressure on to really start making cuts that Doge found that Republicans claim they want to make. If we went down, we got rid of the filibuster, we went down to 50 votes plus one to pass a thing, Republicans don't have an excuse anymore.
Yeah. Somehow I think there's some Republicans who are a little afraid of that situation where they no longer have that excuse.
Yeah. And Trump is having right now to use rescission. I mean, we're in this ridiculous situation where Republicans fund all of this stuff. And then Trump goes through these agencies and fires people to try to cut funding that way. Because bottom line, I mean, we just do not have the ability with the numbers we have in Congress to balance this budget. But because we need 60 votes in the Senate, but, you know, if we get rid of that filibuster, we might be able to do a lot of things, or at least there wouldn't be an excuse for not doing them anymore. So I don't know. Let's see what the reaction is to this post today, to reopen the government by getting rid of the filibuster. Let's see how Republican leadership responds. Are they with Trump or are they against Trump?
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Halloween! Okay, folks sending me their creepy stories online. 800-905-0989. Texter writes here, if this CR is passed, isn't it only good till November 21st and then we are back to the same thing? Yeah, we just get a few weeks. Would changing the date also require a new vote in the House? Actually, don't know. That's a good thing to look up, though. Yeah, no, I think the Democrats are envisioning mass chaos for Christmas. I think that's the plan. And J.D. Vance pointing out, I mean, we're going to see massive traffic snarls here. Texter writes, I think they thrive in chaos, and that's what they want. Texter writes, here, if the filibuster is removed, the Democrats will be able to overturn everything that President Trump accomplishes as soon as they gain majorities. Yes, that's true. But as Trump pointed out, if they gain majorities, they will remove the filibuster themselves, more than likely. They tried to last time. They did get blocked by two independent-minded senators, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. So they did fail, but they did try. And, you know, look, I'm looking at this text here. If the filibuster is removed, the Democrats will be able to overturn everything that President Trump accomplishes as soon as they gain majority. Yeah, but here's the thing. Most of what Trump's accomplishing right now is executive orders. So that stuff was never going to hold anyway because he can't get it through the Senate. So, you know, those executive orders will just get broomed right off the desk the second he's gone. This actually gives him a chance to do something permanent. Although you're right. I mean, I don't like the idea of getting rid of the filibuster. But Trump is making a good point when he says, look, they're going to get rid of it no matter what. Interesting situation, isn't it? All right, I want to jump onto this because this is unprecedented in America. We've never seen anything like this before. I keep saying that every day now. There's always something. You see what's in the Atlantic? The left is losing their minds because Trump officials are increasingly moving onto military bases. Stephen Miller, his deputy chief of staff, Marco Rubio, our secretary of state, Kristi Noem, and others have taken over homes that until recently housed senior officers. You know what's missing from this entire piece? I did a text search of it, and then I read the whole thing. I said, I bet you. And they go on and on and on. They're living like kings, and it's not fair. Base living in the unofficial Trump green zone has become something of a double-edged status symbol. Always a status symbol. Yeah, they're living for free. It's so not fair. Well, why are they living there? Yeah. Does the word bounty appear in this article? No. Does the word cartel appear in this article? No. As in, the cartels in Mexico have offered up to $50,000 bounties on ICE agents' heads. We just arrested one illegal immigrant gang leader in Chicago for that exact thing. It's not theory. We have his texts. They're part of the indictment. That guy put a $10,000 bounty on a sector chief, the Border Patrol, Greg Bovino. Let me ask you a question. Who's the top ICE agent? Like, who'd be the biggest, baddest, best kill? That'd be Kristi Noem, the one who just moved into military housing. Yeah, she's the head of ICE. ICE answers the Department of Homeland Security, ultimately. She's the head ICE agent. Why would Stephen Miller be moving into military housing? Have you heard what's going on in his neighborhood? Folks, his liberal neighbors are hunting him and his family. They formed something called the Arlington Neighbors United for Humanity. Enough, A-N-U-F-H. And they've been putting up signs all over the neighborhood to let people know which house he and his three small children and wife live in. They keep chalking the front of the house, like the brick walk there, to let everyone know, hey, they live here. They want him dead. By the way, this started after Charlie Kirk's assassination. But Why would Stephen Miller, in particular, in the era of the cartel bounty on your head, again, 50, by the way, that, remember the intel report, that's coming out of Mexico, those cartels. Why would Stephen Miller move into military housing? Oh, he just wants to use it as a status, but no. He's the known architect of Trump's immigration policy. So yeah, I mean, if you're a cartel, your hit list, top of it, Homan Gnome Miller. They say one other member of the Trump administration has had to move into military housing too, but that they're not going to disclose that person's identity for whatever reason. They say they agreed not to. So the left, this is huge on the left this morning, especially if you go to Blue Sky. They're living like kings. They think the military is their Praetorian Guard. They're like aristocracy. They've moved on to the base. Nowhere in these articles, now the mainstream media is picking it up, nowhere does it mention the bounties. Because they want them dead. They do. The left wants them dead. They want to see them die in the streets, just like Charlie Kirk. You don't think the left wants us dead? Spend some time on Blue Sky. It'll disabuse you of that notion. Oh, it's just a few of them. No, it's all of them. It's many of them. It's very popular. And folks, when you put that with what we saw this week with Greg Bovino, with that liberal judge ordering him, he's the one running the Chicago operation for ICE, ordering him to come and sit with Her Highness at 6 p.m. every day. And then you know what? That didn't need to be announced publicly, that it's 6 p.m. and he's got to show up in person at the courthouse. But she did. She did it on purpose. She literally puts it out there in a press release that through the court system, that he's supposed to be there at 6 p.m. every night. Why? Well, let the cartels know where he is. They've already put a bounty on his head. $10,000 for his murder, but $2,000 for his kidnapping and torture. So that's Democrats going, let's tell the cartels where he'll be every night at 6. Now, fortunately, the Trump administration was able to appeal that. And for now, he doesn't have to show up. But you know what this judge did? She has him wearing, by court order, a video so she could watch everything he does. And all of this is because a left-wing group that hurled rocks and bricks and frozen water bottles, some of them hitting Bovino, are suing because he tear gassed them. And so she's ordered him, can't use the tear gas unless you stand there and give them two warnings. Never mind, you got a guy there with a knife. He's right in a video. Fox News played it. Why would you do that? Why would you be like, excuse me, he'll be here every night at 6. Yep, right here, courthouse, got to kill him. I've ordered him, I'm a judge. I'll put him in jail if he doesn't. You can kill him there. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Yeah, those cartels, the gangs, they're in the jails too. He can't go there. They'll kill him. Folks, one of the most chilling things and like bad A things I've ever seen was Bovino having to risk his life to walk from the ICE vehicle to the courthouse. It wasn't that he was doing that. He was ordered to do it. It was the federal agents flanking him, using their bodies to shield him from the cartel bullets that the Democrats were trying to draw down on him. Now they're trying everything they can to get Kristi Noem out of military housing. By the way, they're even objecting to Pete Hegseth living on a military base. Do you know he's paying $4,700 a month for that? Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War. Why would he have to live there with his family? Well, he's the guy droning the cartels. The cartels who put to bounties that they don't mention in the articles. I don't even think the left knows these people have bounties on their heads. Folks, this is nothing less than the left working with the cartels to try to get these people killed. It's what it is. This is the times we live in where Trump officials have to live behind walls because the left and the cartels are so deranged. That's the scariest thing I've heard so far today on Halloween.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, the extent of this Arctic frost situation is truly shocking. To really understand it, you've got to dig into the charging documents, the actual documents of who they targeted. To really understand it, you got to go backwards. I've been telling you for years that every key person, there's eight of them, who were the architects of the Trump 2016 win is now a felon. Every one of them. Now a felon, including Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort. This Arctic frost was clearly an attempt to do that, but on the next level. And when you look at the list that Senator Chuck Grassley's published of who was subpoenaed, and I'd encourage you to get that. If you go on anywhere you find my Battleground America podcast, it's in the sources. It will blow your mind. Our side's really doing a bad job covering it. Here's how you cover it. Spent about an hour and a half doing this earlier in the week. You go into the FBI documents and you take the codes. These are investigatory codes. You could see what they were doing. They were monitoring all bank transactions, all payments to and from, all devices. So think computers, phones, phone calls, all of it. For who? The entire Republican ecosystem. And what they did, and it's very clear looking at the subpoenas. By the way, they subpoenaed every single major bank in the entire country to get the bank account details. JP Morgan Chase, TD Bank, Texas Partners Bank, National Capital Bank, State Bank of Cross Plains, Bank of America, Avidia Bank, National Capital Bank, Wells Fargo. One of the key FBI offices, and unfortunately doing this Arctic Frost is in Charlotte because there's so many bank headquarters there. I mean, this is incredible. When you look at this, what they did is very clear. That folks, they even subpoenaed GoDaddy so they could have all of the donation information. What they were doing, Trump's campaign sites were hosted by that. And of course, if you've ever been on one of his campaign sites, there's a button you can click and you could donate. They got it all. They got all the donations. They got an enemies list of donors. They've got it all. This is like something out of East Germany. And you can see what they did by looking at the dates of these subpoenas. PNC Bank. This is incredible. City National Bank, Bank of Central Florida, Center National Bank, Chainbridge Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, on and on and on and on. They started with the Trump websites. The RNC, which is the central operating group of the Republican Party. For the Democrats, it's DNC. The big Republican PAC is called Win Red. Always has been. Been a long time. It's been around. They started with the RNC, Win Red, and Trump's campaign websites. And then they spread out from there. Donors. I mean, just this one subpoena regarding the Save America Joint Fundraising Committee. Folks, there's 40 law firms that they surveilled just off that one. Folks, I can't imagine. If you think about it this way, okay, if 13% of the FBI was consumed with putting grandmas in prison related to January 6th, what I want to know is, what is this, 45% of the FBI? It has to be. I mean, just the scope of it. Now, look at this one subpoena. It targets, and these are all Trump PACs or Republican operative groups. Save America, Save America Joint Fundraising Committee, Republican National Committee, the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, Make America Great Again PAC, Donald J. Trump for President. It targets Lara Trump. It targets even Melania Trump. It targets Stephen Miller. It targets every single group that is operated by his two campaign managers, because he fired one of them in July. The scope of this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There are no words for it. They even subpoenaed paychecks so they could see who was getting paid. They could see how much they were getting paid. They could see where the money was going. Even Google got a subpoena because they needed to monitor their emails. I mean, so our side is not under, they're not, there's a lot of laziness in the reporting on this week. And then you get into the media. Look at this one, Red State. I read Red State all the time. Great publication. And it's conservative media outlet after conservative media outlet after conservative media outlet. They were monitoring the communications between pretty much everybody at any kind of Republican organization, campaign, Senate campaign, and the conservative media, including Fox News. So when we're reporting this, yeah, they certainly, you know, they subpoenaed over 400 organizations. No, this looks like more like 700 or 800, and it's so much more extensive than that. It's honestly shocking. I mean, there's no. And folks, and then from there, it branches out. So they start with the Trump nucleus of every single group, every law firm, every vendor, every advertising, pack, everything that it takes to put on a campaign. And they spread out from there till you get away from Trump. And now it's every grassroots group, every media, every major website, GoDaddy.com, all of it. And you look at just even the GoDaddy subpoena, right? It's every domain possessed by the Trumposphere. This is straight out of a totalitarian regime. And our side is, we're just not explaining this correctly. We're just not. We're not doing our homework. There's a lot of laziness. And I know a lot of you use me for show prep. Get off your butts this weekend and do the work. Look at this. Verizon. Apple. Optimized mobile data, real-time media. There's another red state. ADP, they've got the payroll information. Paychecks. Republic Bank. Folks, let me explain something here. There is no way there was a criminal conspiracy this big. What's the predicate? What is it? What's the predicate? See, this is America, and we have this thing called the Fourth Amendment. I know it's antiquated and all, but it is in the Bill of Rights. What's the predicate? What's the crime? Well, Trump objected to the election and wanted an alternative slate of electors. What does that have to do with wiretapping Ted Cruz's office phone? And by the way, wanting an alternate state of electors, he failed, but he wanted one. It's not illegal. Where did this crap come from? One judge, Boasberg. Folks, do you realize that there are 6 liberal judges out of over 900 they keep going to? Is someone on our side at some point going to do an investigation into that? Because it's supposed to be a random lottery of federal judges, but we keep getting the same 6 out of 900. What are the odds of that? And he just rubber stamps whatever subpoena they want, but it's worse than that. He gagged them all of these businesses, so that they couldn't tell the targets. Why? So they could watch us and watch everything we did during this election so they could have the upper hand. And people hate them so much, they still got beaten for now. For now. I mean, folks, this is every strategy. Citibank, Discover Financial Services, they're monitoring. Folks, get the codes on here. The FBI codes are for financial transactions. It's not just bank accounts. It's credit cards. Discover, they watched it all. Every time we did a major buy, they knew. The FBI knew. We can't live like this. Again, what is the criminal predicate? There isn't one. They just found a judge whose whole family gets rich every month, millions of dollars off Democrat NGOs and federal money. And they said, here, we need these, I don't know. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of subpoenas. Honestly, with what, 40,000 people working for the FBI? I'm amazed they managed to do all that with that amount of manpower. That's how massive this is. So our side is get off their butt this weekend, do the reporting. None of this, we'll just keep retweeting the Chuck Grassley press release. Oh, they targeted 400 organizations. That doesn't even cover it. This is a surveillance state set up around Team Trump. And folks, by the way, it's Friday. This has been out 2 days. We know who the heads are of all of these FBI offices, and almost everyone in the country was involved. We know the five ringleaders, the special agents in charge. One's right up the road in Charlotte. Why is he driving to work this morning at his FBI office and his FBI desk? Fire him now. So Steve Nails accusing Diane Mitchell. They're both running in the race in House District 21, to runoff race, of joining a teachers union. She's texted me this morning with her response to that. I was curious to see what she'd say. She says that was 40 years ago. She said she joined for 2 years because it was the only way to get benefits when she was teaching in Colorado. She said, I was told I had to be a member to get liability insurance. So for 1 or 2 years, I did. Then I found another way to get liability insurance and refused to join, she says. So Steve Nail saying she, as a teacher, was a member of the teachers union. She says she has not been a member for over 40 years. I should add, though, when I interviewed Steve the other day, he was not honest with me in our interview. I mean, he wasn't. I was sitting there waiting to ask him about his membership in the South as a board member in South Carolina Chamber of Commerce. When he told me, when I asked him about it, he said, oh, I haven't been a member for years. Well, that's not what they think, because they still list him as a 2024 member of the board of directors. The problem with that is they were huge supporters of the gas tax, and he's been a member for years. They've also been huge supporters of all the tax funder funded deals that have gone through the legislature that he now says he does not support. But he told me he hadn't been a member for years. They think he was. He's on their board of directors list right now for 2024. He says he was not a member of the board of directors list. He was the head of a subcommittee, and he actually objected to everything they were doing. So I don't know. Maybe he needs to get them to take him off the list of board of directors members then, if he did object. And I would just ask, why were you a member all those years of a group that advocates for everything that you're running against? And why were you not honest with me about it? I guess he thought I wouldn't do my homework. Kind of bad choice before you come on this show. So between the two of them, that's the rub.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember, this is the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.